What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring guest author John Platt on the history of the Murdoch family.
Had the boat crash not taken place, would the House of Murdoch still be standing today, or would they just be sitting there swaying in the wind waiting for another tragedy to strike?
Exactly. I mean, if the boat crash hadn't happened, we may never have heard of the Murdochs. You know, they might have just carried on, you know, making money, having a good time, and, you know, we wouldn't even know the name. But it was the boat crash, I think, that set the ball rolling for their destruction, you know.
How did that boat crash affect the relationship of Alec and Paul?
One doesn't really know. I mean, Alex was very supportive of Paul. I mean, when they were in the hospital straight after the boat crash, Alex and his father Randolph, you know, they turned up at the hospital, you know, to do crisis management, to try and shut everybody up about what happened. And they were doing everything. I don't know quite how it affected their relationship, but it couldn't have, it must have been very strange, you know, as Paul was indicted for, you know, causing death by being over the limit with alcohol, and things were coming to a civil trial.
I would imagine so. I mean, it really, from the outside looking in, it blew the cover off of a lot of things in the Murdoch family that Alec probably didn't want to have out there in the open. Do you think that created a sense of resentment between Alec and his son, or was the bond there stronger than that, even with a malignant narcissist like Alec Murdoch?
Yeah, I think there's the Murdoch family bond. You know, they stick together, you know, for the Murdoch family name. As we can see with young Buster and his recent interview with Fox Nation, yeah, you know, where he's defending his father right out, you know. And I read some of the, I mean, it doesn't come out till tomorrow, but I saw some of the transcripts of what's been released. And I don't know if he saw, he was in the same trial as I was, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's pretty cut and dried to me. But I think the Murdoch family name is the most important thing, you know, and I think he was probably under a lot of pressure to, you know, support his father. But having listened to so many, about more than 200 of their conversations from jail, which were made public, you know, under a Freedom of Information Act, yeah, you can hear how strained it is between Buster and his father, Alex.
Tell me about that more, because, I mean, you've heard far more than probably almost anyone by listening to all of those recordings. What are some of the pieces that really stood out to you that maybe we haven't heard of yet?
Yeah, I mean, my book revealed some of them for the first time, like on the anniversary of what would have been, I think, Paul's 23rd birthday. X was actually organizing a birthday party for him through a third party and Buster at Paul's favorite bar in Charleston. And they were inviting all his friends and everything. And during the phone call, you can hear Alex saying, you know, how pleased it was, how it was going, and things like that. And, you know, had so-and-so been invited? So he was manipulating from, you know, behind bars for that. And he also, I mean, during Mother's Day, he made it a big deal to try and pressure Buster through various family members to make sure there were flowers on Maggie's grave. You know, really wanted flowers on Maggie's grave. And during like two or three phone calls, he would like impress on Buster the importance of doing that.
Was, and I know you had said that there wasn't a whole lot of talk about Maggie and Paul on those phone calls. Obviously, everything was being monitored, so he was smart enough not to say much. But at the same time, did you garner any sense of remorse, of innocence? Of what did you take out of Alex's interactions on the phone for those 200-some calls of what you listened to? What kind of individual was that when no one else was listening?
Well, I mean, I think he was totally narcissistic. I mean, obviously, he knew he was being recorded, as they tell you at the beginning of each phone call. So he was very clever at what he said. You know, he hardly mentioned Maggie and Paul. But, I mean, there was no remorse. I mean, there was nothing like, oh, I'm so upset. You know, my wife and son are dead. You know, nothing like that whatsoever. He was, you know, happier talking about football games and how much he'd won from fellow prisoners in various, you know, games, that chess and stuff that they had behind bars. But there was very zero remorse. I mean, as you saw at the trial, I mean, and I think he's a sociopath. I mean, personally, I mean, he doesn't seem to have been affected at all by their deaths. And if he has, he's, you know, he's been manipulating people around him of his innocence, you know.
Was the birthday party, because I found that to be kind of creepy. I mean, I get it if you're out of prison and, you know, it's your son and you're not being, you haven't been convicted of his murder. You know, a grieving parent having a birthday party for a child who has passed. I've seen that before. You know, I think that's a way that some people grieve. But to do something like this and set up this party that you're not even really going to and your son is dead, is that all narcissistic show? Just for like, look at me, look how much I love my son. I'm having this party and he's dead.
Oh. 100%, that's what I think it was, you know? Yeah. Yeah, it was showing people that, no, I didn't do anything wrong. You know, I'm still, you know, grieving my son. I want him to have a party. But I think it was done for his family and friends, you know, to, you know, impress on them that he still cared and he was organizing a birthday party. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I heard that jailhouse call, you know, my red flags went up. I thought that was pretty amazing, you know.
Well, and who attends the party put together by Alec Murdaugh? That's the other question.
But it was Paul's and Buster's friends, yeah. You know, and they were invited through social media and things like that. And I think one of his lawyers was involved, you know, as a third party to help set things up, you know, get the bar and everything. So, I mean, and it supposedly went off okay.
How interesting. Obviously, Alec has been in confined places in prison. I know that there's been times where he's been in more of a general population. What is going on with Alec in prison right now? And tell me about some of the things that you've learned of his interactions with others.
Well, I mean, I think right now, you know, he's not in a general population. Now he's, you know, found guilty of the two murders. What I understand is, I mean, they can use, I don't know if you saw the pictures of him like half naked.
Yes.
They have like an iPad, I think the inmates can use. They have to take a picture before they communicate on them. And somehow some of these pictures got out there, you know?
Yeah.
But very little is known, you know, about him right now, you know, in jail or what he's doing, you know. But he knows how to survive, you know. And when these jailhouse calls came out, one that really got my attention was he referenced a hardened criminal that has spent most of his life in jail for armed robbery and other things, and how he'd become a kind of mentor to Alex and mentored him through the ways of surviving in jail, you know, and really helped him, and they'd become friends. So, I mean, I think Alex was a survivor outside prison, you know, with all, everything he was involved in, you know, before he was arrested, and probably within prison, you know, he knows how to survive, you know. And although it may not be millions of dollars at stake, but just the commissary, you know, chocolates and crisps and bad food like that, he still knows how to get one up on the other people.
Is he still being supported by his family outside? Is there still like money going into the canteen outside of his control? Is there anyone that's visiting him or still standing by his side?
I'm sure there is money coming into his canteen. I mean, you know, the family have never accepted, you know, what the jury said. You know, and I never think they will. You know, it's like Buster. I mean, the Murdoch family name is everything. So I don't think they'll ever turn against him. And I'm sure they're still supporting him. And there's been a lot of, I think, court action to get his various insurance policies, give him access to them so he can pay his lawyers, you know.
And obviously, there's still 100 some charges against him. It'd be impossible to go through all of them right now. We've got the Gloria Satterfield case that's there. And there's obviously other tentacles and connections that could go. Where do you see Alec in, how do you see Alec's life in prison? He's going to be there for the rest of his life unless there's an alien invasion and opens up the prison. That's the only way I see him getting out. I mean, how do you see him surviving in there? Obviously, he's not going to be in solitary confinement forever. He will get out there. It sounds like he was making some friends, but how big of a target is Alec Murdaugh? Especially considering there's probably people in there that he helped put in prison.
Right. Very good point. And I mean, I think his lawyers warned him. He says in one of the calls that his lawyer was worried he was going to get a shiv or a knife in the back. You know, Alex never seemed to worry about that. He thought he could handle himself. He works out a lot. I know that. I mean, he was very overweight and out of condition when he was arrested. And pretty soon, you know, he lost a substantial amount of weight working out. And he used to boast to, you know, his sister-in-law about, you know, how his workouts were going. So, I mean, I think he's got himself in shape. Obviously, he's got a big target on his back. Everybody knows who Alex Murdaugh is. And I think it would be like a badge of honor for a prisoner maybe to try and take him down. Who knows, you know? So I'm sure he looks behind his back, you know, all the time. He's a target.
Will anyone ever truly see the remorse that they want out of Alec Murdaugh? I mean, obviously there's the murder cases come and gone. He says that he has nothing to do with it, but he does seem to profess at least on the surface, a little bit of regret. He's admitted obviously during the murder trial to the financial crimes, even though he's pled not guilty to some of the charges. Now, is this something where it's just going to kind of drag on for the rest of his life, these charges on and off? More things will probably be unearthed as other things are gone through. I'm just curious as to what your thoughts is on his future existence and his mindset. Will Alec ever show remorse and recognize what he did, or is he just that hardened narcissist until he's dead?
Well, I'm pretty sure he'll never show any remorse or admit what happened that night and tell the truth about it. You know, and who knows if he can confront himself and tell himself the truth about it, you know? I don't know how he survives. And that's what the judge said, you know, in sentencing, that obviously maybe Paul and Maggie visit him every night, you know? And how does he live with that? That's a very good point I thought the judge made, you know, when he sentenced him. It was very moving. And I saw Buster brought that up, you know, in the interview with Fox Nation.
Yeah.
You know, that must have struck a note. But, you know, I can't see him ever showing any remorse. You know, he's probably very actively involved in all these civil trials, all these criminal trials that are coming up, you know, so he's occupied. But once those finish, you know, how's he going to occupy his time? Who knows?
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more?
Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast, dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
What if you could get more from what you already do? As a Shell Fuel Rewards member, that's just a regular Sunday. You get more rewards, more savings, and more special offers. Earn rewards when shopping, dining out, and fueling up. And all of that becomes fuel savings when you're at the pump. Use the Shell app and enjoy life with more. Your nearest Shell station is less than 5 miles away.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.